And tonight I'm joined by Karen and our special guest, Danielle. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty great. Feeling pretty special.
You should be, because you don't get to come on Book Guide very often, and we're very happy to have you here to talk about our exciting adventures at BEA, which happened a couple weeks ago, but things have been super busy, so we're just getting around to talking about them. And how about you, Miss Karen? How are you doing?
Powering through this podcast with my voice sounding like this, so sorry to everyone who finds my voice probably annoying, but I'm doing my best.
I've been on podcasts with worse voices. I think you're doing pretty good, Kare. I think you're okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right, so Danielle, let's start off because you're just visiting for today. Tell us what you've been reading, because you definitely review a lot of books and stuff for us, and you have a very unique like for books. Like, you like very specific kinds. So what is it that you've been reading recently?
It was for our friend Danya's request, so I wanted to read it first before giving it over to her. And it's called A Fire in Stars by Audrey Colthurst. And I'm currently reading the Red Vengeance chapter sampler. That's the follow-up to Margaret Stoll's first Black Widow novel, which was Forever Red. And I'm really liking this chapter sampler so far. Maybe even better than Forever Red. So it's making me super excited. And then besides that, I just have a bunch of comics to read. Ones that I pick up on my own every Wednesday, and also a giant pile of ones that I got from BEA. So that's kind of what's on my headboard at the moment.
Nice. So what is A Fire in...
Please tell me. That's what I was just going to ask, because Danya talked up A Fire in Stars, and it sounded really good, and I need to know if you liked it or not.
I did like it. It was a fun adventure, and like the relationship in it is really great, because it's not... and it's very natural, and also this book talks a lot about horseback riding, and like sort of like horseback riding terms, and that used to be my life for a really long time. It was really nice to kind of have that in the book too, so that made me like it a little bit more. But I like it a lot. It's gonna be a really good one.
Awesome. That's great. I know she's super excited to get a hold of that book. She's like keeps talking about it, so I love it. All right, so Karen, I see that you've read no books, but that's okay because you've been like traveling and crazy busy and doing all kinds of fun stuff, so it happens.
Yes.
I have been reading, I read two books. Well, I read one book by Jill Shalvis, and the second one I'm almost done with it. And they're part of her new series, the Heartbreaker Bay series. And I believe I've expressed my love of Jill Shalvis many, many times over. But this new series, you guys, it's so, so good. Like, typically she writes about small towns, like, with quirky people and, like, really just... It's a very distinct, like, kind of setting that she has. This one is set in San Francisco, in the San Francisco Bay Area. And it's so it's in the city, which is... different for her. Most of her books don't take place, or the ones that I've read lately haven't taken place in a city. And so this is just a really different vibe. And I love where she's going. It's this group of friends who live in this kind of hip area of town, and they all have these different little hangups and quirks. And the first one is Sweet Little Lies. It comes out next week, and it introduces us to this brand new cast of characters. And they're super cool and intriguing, as always. That's one thing I love about Jill Shalvis novels, is that they always have these really, really great cast of characters. So definitely check that one out. That one is about Prue, whose parents have done something, and she feels that she needs to make up for it, and that's why she ends up in San Francisco. And kind of in the path of this boy named Finn, and he owns a bar. And so it's an interesting story. I don't want to give too much away, because if I say... anything too much, it'll give the whole plot line away. But it's really, really good. And then I also have the second novel in that series called The Trouble with Mistletoe. So clearly that's going to be a fall release. But I couldn't help but read it because it was there and it's just so good. And that one is also, it introduces us to, one of the characters, Willa, it's her story. And then we get to meet the guy for her, and he is really cool as well. And again, love it. And then I also read the sampler that we got at BEA of Carve the Mark, which is Veronica Roth's new book. And it's a brief sampler. It's not a ton of story, But I really like the voice in this story. I think it's going to be very different from Divergent, and it's going to have some appeal to it, I think, for lots of people. So as we get more of that and learn more about that story, I think it'll be really interesting to see what people think and how people take it, because it is different from Divergent. It's not that same kind of let's revisit the same motif. It's something very different. And then the other novel I read was Undeclared by Jen Frederick. And Jen Frederick is part of the Aaron Watt writing team when we read Paper Princess. And so I wanted to read some of her books on their own just to see what they were like. And so I read Undeclared. The story itself is pretty interesting. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of the writing. It wasn't exactly what I like to read. I don't know. The storytelling wasn't as clean, I guess, as I would like it to be. But she has some strong characters, and they were definitely a fun read. So, yes, indeedy. All right. So, now we're going to talk about BEA. And we're going to start with Danielle, because this was Danielle's first ever BEA. So, Danielle, I want you to tell us what you thought for your first ever visit to BEA.
Oh, wow. Well, besides the fact that it was exciting, because even though Chicago's a pretty big city, we don't get a lot of fun things like this. So it was exciting, but it was also, I didn't realize how many people would just be throwing books at me. And I didn't realize how many free books there actually would be. So, like, the first day, we were only there for maybe, like, an hour or two, and I think I picked up, like, two or three books. And going into it, I had asked Karen how many books I should expect to take home with me. And she's like, oh, you're going to take home upwards of, like, 30, 35. And so for my first day's haul, I was like, I don't think so, Karen. But then the next day, when everything was in full swing, I just kept picking up books. And, like, usually when you're at some sort of, like, convention or show, nothing is free, so you're really hesitant to, like, take things. Whereas here, it was like, if you didn't take a book, you would have missed out on it in, like, a few minutes. So that was my first impression. It was just like, wow, there actually are free books here for me to take, and I'm supposed to take a lot of them and not feel bad about it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think that's the first thing. Like, you're like, wait, I'm allowed to, like, just have it? I can just have it? What do you mean? Like, I think I felt that same way the very first year that I went to, because people are, like, handing you things. You're like, but what? These are free. I'm just allowed to, like, it's a little shocking, I think. But all in all, it's a lot of good fun because you get some really cool new stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this was the first year that it was in someplace other than New York City, at least for me as someone who goes to BEA. All the ones that I have been to have been in New York City. So having it in a different city was interesting because the Javits Center is what it is. It's located where it's located. You know, I think we go to the Javits for a lot of different things. But BEA always has, like, its special, like, place. And then BookCon was added on, and BookCon was done in a very specific way. BookCon this year was also in Chicago, but it was only one day, whereas in New York City, it's usually 2 days. So it was a little bit different in that regards. The other thing that I think I noticed, and I think, Karen, you can chime in here too, is that it just felt smaller this year for BEA. Like, in general, like, the signing lines, usually in the back, they have these signing lines that you can go into for autographing, and you can get ARCs, or you can get finished copies, and the authors are signing books, and usually there's, like, 20-some-odd, like, signing tables, and I think there were only, like, 12 there. So everything just felt a little bit smaller, even though the McCormick Center is twice as big as the Javits Center. So, Kara, what did you think about that?
Yeah, I feel pretty much this way. This was my third year going to BEA, so I feel like I'm still kind of new at it, and I don't necessarily know what it's going to be like every year, because it does change depending on the authors that come. But, I mean, luckily for me, it was in Chicago this year because I just moved to Ohio. Chicago's only 4 hours away from me. Worked out beautifully. Got to meet up with Danielle, and we hung out before the con started, and it was a lot of fun. But I would definitely agree that it felt a lot smaller, and I do know that it's going back to New York next year, so I think it'll be interesting to see if they decide to permanently move it to Chicago or if they're just like, we're doing much better if we just keep it in New York.
Well, I think part of the thing with it being in New York is that that's where all the publishing houses are. Like, legitimately, they're down the street.
Yeah.
So if they need something or they want to do different things, it's easier to do it in a city where your home base is than to try and bring everything out to another city. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's interesting when they choose to move things around like that. I'm like, I get it. You want to have it in different parts of the country so that more, you know, different and more people can be involved. Like, I totally understand. But because BEA is about the, like, basically the publishing industry, it's like their thing. I would think that keeping it located where it's easiest for the publishing industry to, like, work and function would be beneficial. And then the other thing, like I said, that I noticed was that BookCon felt really small too. Mind you, the people of Chicago and the surrounding area came out for BookCon. BookCon was packed on Saturday. Like, walking was not optional. Like, trying to move through people, it felt like a Comic-Con. Like, it was that full. So the people definitely came out, but I felt like it didn't have as many things as they have had in the past, like when they're in New York. Like, in New York, there had been different, like, movie adaptation panels, and, like, different stars came out to talk about their new books, and I didn't feel like it had that kind of same thing happening in Chicago as it does typically in New York.
And, I mean, like I said, I've never gone to BEA or BookCon before, but it did, in my mind, feels smaller for BookCon because they closed off half of the room that was open for BEA. So in my mind, that already set me up for it feeling smaller and it feeling like there wasn't as many things to do. And I mean, there were a ton of people there too, so it made me feel slightly claustrophobic.
It was a little claustrophobic. But that same thing happens in New York, and it's not as closed off, and, like, all the rooms are full with panels, and, like, there just seemed to be more programming. But I don't know. Like I said, it's good to move around, I guess, to get different perspectives so that different people have the opportunity to kind of, you know, participate in these things, which is cool. So I don't know. We'll see. So let's talk a little bit about the best moments from BEA, because we had a lot of fun. We got to do a lot of really cool stuff. Karen got some things that she really, really wanted, which I'm sure she'll talk profusely about in a few minutes. But what were some of the best? What were some of the best moments for you, Danielle?
Well, dipping into Karen's things to talk about, we really wanted to, or I really wanted to get the Iron Man book. Karen already got it because she was sneaky and popular. But so we were waiting in line for the Iron Man book, and in addition to giving out the books, they were giving out little chargers, and they were also giving out Iron Man drinks. It seemed like a sort of lemonade punchy like thing, but it was in this like white or a clear drink glass that lit up, like the stem of it lit up, and it looked super cool. It looked kind of like an arc reactor, and so it's really cool to be drinking out of this light up glass, and then you're walking around and everybody's like, where'd you get that? And we're like, Iron Man, Disney. So that was really fun.
I love it.
That. And I'm glad we were able to get it because I know Karen would have been super upset if we weren't able to do that.
This is true.
Yeah.
Karen's like, yep. What else?
Oh, gosh. Well, there was also one of the Facebook Live interviews was Kenny Loggins. Who most people only really know him for Footloose, like I do. And so it was weird to be walking around the convention center and then all of a sudden hear just Footloose coming from the corner of the room. And you could tell it wasn't a recording, but it sounded really great. And so you're like, yeah, it's okay. I'm looking at books and Kenny Loggins is here playing Footloose.
Right, but if you listen to the words closely, it wasn't actually Footloose. It's actually the story of his new picture book. He wrote a picture book, and it's about the animals at the zoo, and it's called Footloose, but it's about the animals at the zoo dancing. And so he actually kept the, you know how it says Jack, get back in the song Footloose. So the zookeeper's name is Jack, and the story is about all the different animals that come out at night to dance in the zoo when no one's around watching them except for Jack. He's the only one that knows the secret. But these two kids sneak into the zoo and see the animals dancing. So that's what he was actually singing, was about the
picture.
That's amazing. Was like the song of his picture book is to, like, basically to the theme of Footloose. Yeah.
So I didn't realize that. Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it was pretty funny. But yeah, it was because all of a sudden you just hear it, and then all of a sudden you see all these people like migrate to where this, it was like one of, I forget where the little booth that he was at, but like, and there he was just jamming out to, and I think he did like sing part of Footloose, and then he started singing the song that goes with the book as well. So it was just really funny. You're like, wait, is this a rock concert or BEA? I'm not sure what's going on right now. So it was pretty awesome. And you mentioned Facebook Live. So I'll, in case we didn't mention it before, kind of a last minute thing that we were asked to do was interview people on Facebook Live. And so I was the one doing that. And as many of you know, because you've heard me say it 5 million times over, I hate being on video with a passion of 1,000 fires. But for in this case, it was kind of one of those things, like, it was an opportunity you really couldn't pass up. So I just pretended I was just talking to the person and that there was no, like, camera involved. What was really cool, though, was that we used iPhones for it. So it really didn't feel like there was a camera looking at you. So it was okay to do. But I got to interview some really, really cool people for Facebook Live. I got to interview Kenny Loggins, which was kind of surreal in a sense. I got to interview Jodi Picoult, who is quite possibly the coolest human being ever. She was so much fun, and she's just, her new book is nothing like she's ever written about before, and I think it's going to be phenomenal. And I think it takes a really hard look at society and some things that have been going on recently, and I'm really curious to read it. I think it's going to be amazing. I also got to speak to, like, Marissa Mayer and Leigh Bardugo about their new books, Gail Forman about her new book, which is an adult book, which is kind of cool. So it was a really fun couple of days that I got to do that. And it was different because, like I said, I'm not a big fan of being on camera. So if you've seen those interviews, you'll tell that I'm not really looking at where the phone is placed because that's awkward for me. I haven't watched any of them, so I don't know. They could have come out terrible. But I was told that they were pretty decent, so I guess we'll see. Karen, how about you?
I want to watch them just to see if you can see me walking in the background, because I pass by it a couple of times.
I know, lots of people. And then we worked in conjunction with a PBS. It's called Bookview Now. So we were working in conjunction with them. And so on their videos, I know you can see all the people in the background. And can I just tell you guys the funniest thing? So like, the biggest draw... like, the biggest draw at the PBS Now and the Facebook Live thing was the Property Brothers. Do you guys know the twin brothers that are the Property Brothers? I forget their names. Jonathan Scott and Drew Scott, maybe? I think that's who they are. But they, like, the amount of people that were, like, standing behind where the set was for these interviews and, like, taking photos and, like, trying to come around and talk to them was intense. Like, I could not believe how many people were into the Property Brothers. It was so funny to me. I'm just like, this is BookCon. Like, I get it. Like, but they're not like, it's not like it was J.K. Rowling standing there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was so funny to me, but all the more power to them. They can conquer the real estate world and the book world, I guess. I don't know. It was pretty funny. So Karen, do you have anything that you were like super excited about?
Well, we have on here the bathroom book. Danielle, was this our bathroom book story?
Yeah.
Okay, you tell the first half, I'll tell the second half.
Okay, so Karen and I decided to, after we got some breakfast at Starbucks, we wanted to take a little bathroom break before we got out on the floor. And so we went into the bathroom, and my stall had this book at the back of it, and the cover was like slightly menacing. It was like black, orange, and yellow, and it was something about like catacombs, and it was really intense, and it was just like chilling on top of like the silver container for the tissue that goes on to the toilet, basically, that you put on there so like you're not touching it. I don't know. So it's just chilling back there. And I decided to leave it there because I thought that the person in front of me was the one who put it there and that they would come back for it and know which stall they were in. So I just kind of left it there. And then when I got out of the stall, the person who went in came out of the stall, slammed it on the counter next to me while I was washing my hands, and then walked back in the stall. And I just kind of like was like, all right, don't be angry about this book. And I just left it there. Whatever. So I thought that was the end of the story. Apparently Karen heard something else.
So fast forward a few hours, and I had to go to a lunch for Jen because she was doing Facebook Live. And I'm sitting at this table and we're all chatting, and this girl just kind of goes, guys, guess what? I found the coolest book in the bathroom. And she pulls out this book. And it's the same book that Danielle saw. And she was like, this thing looks so cool. And it was just sitting on the table and like nobody was taking it. So I took it. And I was like, my friend and I were just in the bathroom like 4 hours ago. And we know the origin of the story. So I told it to her and she thought it was the coolest thing in the world. But like, what are the chances that I end up sitting at the table of the girl who decided to pick it up? It was just so random and funny.
And now we forever know it as the bathroom book. Yeah. I did finally find a copy for myself that wasn't from the bathroom. So maybe I'll read it at some point, but I can't look at it without knowing that it's the bathroom book.
That might be the best story ever. That is so funny. Love it.
So other than that, Jen and I also got to go to a Disney dinner, which was very exciting, and it was full of authors, and it was a really good time, and I really enjoyed myself. I have to say the highlight of that whole night, and there were a lot of highlights.
There were. It was a funny dinner.
Yeah, it was great. But Shannon and Dean Hale, who are going to be writing or have written the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl book, this is the first time I'd like met them, seen them, anything. So I didn't really know their personalities or anything. They are ridiculous and they are hilarious. And each author got to speak for a little while about, you know, themselves, their books, kind of where the idea originated, and they told the story and everything. And everyone was picking on Mo Willems because he has like a bunch of awards. And he was just sort of the one that everybody targeted. It was either him or Owen Colfer. And they decided that they had to be the highlight of this whole dinner. And they had to outdo every other author there. And they did it by doing an interpretive dance of how their creative process works. And I swear to God, Inhale like picked her up and swung her around, like almost kicked Jen in the face, because we have front row seats.
That totally happened.
She got on his shoulders, and it was absolutely ridiculous. But I was laughing so hard that tears were streaming down my face.
What also was really funny is they talked about how they were basically they kind of went through like a recap of how Squirrel Girl was pitched to them and how they decided to do it, because they had talked about how, you know, they weren't going to do any more books for hire, but it was Disney, and you know, so then Dean was like, well, if it's Squirrel Girl, of course we would do it. And then she's like, well, they're saying it's Squirrel Girl, and like they're acting out this whole thing in front of us, and it was just the funniest thing. And they are so, you guys, they're so into this. Like, I'm super excited to read this book because of them and how excited they are about writing this book and how into it. Like, they had squirrel ears. They had, like, squirrel, like, signs and like, handshakes. And, like, there was no stopping them. Like, they were so super excited about this whole concept. Like, it's just so much fun to watch them. And I think that's going to translate into their book. So I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they seemed like genuine fans of Squirrel Girl before they even got the pitch. And I think with that attitude going into it, you know they're going to be faithful to the source material, and they're just going to have a lot of fun with it.
Exactly. And they're also writing, or Shannon Hale is also writing Captain Marvel for Disney as well.
Yes.
So that'll be pretty amazing. I'm just throwing it out there now while we're at it. So let's talk a little bit about, because we're kind of segueing into this part anyway, let's talk about the books we were most excited about to get. And so, Karen, I'm going to let you talk about your book first, because it fits into what we were just talking about. Were you not excited?
What do you mean?
You weren't excited about getting the Iron Man book? I mean...
Okay, I didn't know if you were talking about Squirrel Girl, because I was like, that's Danielle's.
Nope. I was talking about the other Marvel book that we got.
Okay. Yes, so I got my hands on the Iron Man book, and I'm very, very excited, because I also got to meet Owen Colfer for the first time, and he was absolutely hilarious, and I think that his... just like general personality is going to fit the Tony Stark persona really well. And so definitely excited for that. And like, I'm really surprised I didn't crack this book open on the train ride home, because I should have, but I decided not to. And I even left it home. It's not even with me right now. It doesn't come out until October. So I was like, I have to read some other things before I touch this. But my love for Iron Man knows no bounds, and now I have my hands on this book, so once I read it, I'm sure you guys will know all about it.
Did you have any other books that you were really excited to get your hands on?
Yeah, actually, I didn't even realize that she was there until I think you pointed it out to me, but Amy Lukovics, her next book, Women in the Walls, and she wrote, was it Demons Unto Daughters?
Yes, that's the one.
Daughters Unto Demons?
Yes.
Something like that. Her next book is Women in the Walls, and the first book was, like, genuinely scary. Like, I was really scared reading it, so I'm looking forward to this next one, and even just the name of it, Women in the Walls, sounds terrifying, so got my hands on that, looking forward to reading it. Probably will keep the lights on all night when I do, but... should be a good time.
Yeah, that's the one where you're like, you kept messaging me, you're like, Jen, this book is genuinely terrifying. You're like, I'm terrified. And you'll be happy to know, Karen, that right now, as I'm looking through a bunch of things, there are a ton of those thriller, suspense, / horror books that you like so much coming out soon. So you're going to have a lot of reading to do. There's a lot going on in that regard.
Yeah, I need to set some serious time aside for that sort of thing, because I haven't read in a while, and like I said, like you said, you know, I've been traveling and stuff, mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard because I've been hopping from place to place, and you can only fit so many books in your bookcase or your suitcase. But yes, I'm really looking forward to all of the thrillers. I've been getting a lot of offers for them as well, you know, like people, it seems to be sort of trending right now.
Yes.
And there seem to just be a lot of YA thrillers out there. And I'm like, okay, I will definitely give them a try.
Yeah, I have a couple that I'm really excited to read that are thrillers. But you like the more horror, kind of creepier things. So I'll leave those to you, and I'll just stick to, like, the suspense, murder, mystery, thriller kind of things.
Works for me.
I know. Very exciting. Danielle, what were you excited about getting?
In addition to The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, which I, like, really wanted to get in line for, and I was happy that we were able to get the signed copies for it, I'm also really excited for this book. It's called Labyrinth Lost, and it's by Zoraida Cordova.
Yes, she writes really cool
and
books.
I love Mexican culture. I love Dia de los Muertos. Like, I am fascinated by it, and I think it's beautiful, and it's a wonderful concept. And this book incorporates that. Like, it's all about that. And the cover has this stunning photo of a woman, and her face is all painted up like a sugar skull. And it's really intriguing. And it's about, like, a witch who performs a spell to get rid of powers, and then her whole family ends up vanishing. And so she only has, like, this other witch boy or something that is left with her, and they have to figure out what happened. So it kind of combines witchcraft with Dia de los Muertos, and I'm completely on board. I'm so excited.
Yes, I saw that one too, and I love her other books. She wrote about some really cool mermaids too. Karen would probably like her first series. And so I am very excited about this series. I like her voice. I like what she has to say. It's pretty cool. So, and I do agree the cover is super stunning. I loved that cover. It kind of just pulls you in right away. So, very exciting. For me, the two things I was really excited about, A Torch Against the Night, which is Sabaa Tahir's second book. And then I just remembered another one, and The Empire of Dust, which is Eleanor Herman's second book in the Alexander the Great series that we were reading, The Legacy of Kings. They both kind of ended on these like mini cliffhangers, so I'm really excited to get into these books and to see what's coming up next and all that good stuff. And then a book I didn't even know was coming out that I'm so super excited about is Dash and Lily's 12 Days of Christmas, and it's by David Levithan and I'm gonna forget her name. Robin, not Robin, Rachel Cohn. Rachel Cohn. They wrote Dash and Lily's Book of Dares like way back. That book's several years old, but I loved Dash and Lily's Book of Dares. Like it's this really fun book that takes place partly in the Strand bookstore, and this girl leaves a notebook in the middle of the Strand, like in amongst the books, and this boy finds it, and in there is like a dare. And so they basically trade dares back and forth in this book, but they don't know who the other is. And they happen to meet one night, but they don't know that they're meeting the person that they're doing the dares with. And it's just, I don't know, I really liked it a lot. It was a lot of fun, and it was set in New York at the Strand, and I don't know, it's a really cool book if you guys haven't read it. I actually listened to it on Audible and I loved it. So I'm really excited about Dash and Lily's 12 Days of Christmas, which is, it's like the dorkiest thing of all, but I'm like, but I really, as soon as I saw it was there, like I went and got in line to get a copy. It was really funny. I was like, wait, what? I need to have that in my life right now. So I picked that up as well. All right. So, what are books that we maybe found that we didn't even know we wanted until we were there and we're like, what is this? And I have to have it now. I guess my Dash and Lily book could have gone there, but I was super excited about it. So, it's going to go in multiple places. Karen, did you have any that you didn't know you wanted, but then you got them in your hands and you're like, nope, I have to have it?
I mean, honestly, there were a lot of them. I can't remember all the titles right now, but I would keep finding these ones that like weren't even on my radar, and then somebody would put them in my hands and describe it to me, and I was like, this sounds really good, and I don't know why I haven't heard about it before. But there was one actually that we were at the Little Brown booth, and we rolled the die to see if we could win a book, and I know we were
Right.
trying to get like one specifically, and then I ended up getting another one called Love and First Sight, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I want this. I want the one with the creepy trees on it, which you ended up giving to me anyway.
Yes.
And I read the back of it, and I was like, okay, actually, this book sounds fantastic. So that's on my shelf that I'm definitely interested in reading that too.
Awesome. I know that Danielle and I both found this one. It was also from Little Brown, and it's called Stalking Jack the Ripper. And Karen, if you've read the back of it, I think you'll want it too. So this book is from the James Patterson's Children imprint, and it's basically this story about a girl, and she's a lord's daughter, so it's set in England, and she basically goes out and starts dealing with murders that were done by Jack the Ripper. And so it's one of those really cool, like horror, creepy suspense novels, and it's set in my favorite time period. So you kind of can't go wrong with that for me. Like it hits all the major things. So Danielle, why were you excited about this book?
For some reason, I'm just fascinated by Jack the Ripper. I don't know a lot of the history about it. It's not something that I've researched in depth, but that has fascinated me. And when I picked up, or when I saw this book, the cover grabbed me right away, because I'm looking at it right now. It's like a Victorian, I think it's a Victorian woman with this long, shiny knife, just kind of standing there, her fingers on the blade, and below are like the dirty streets of what I'm assuming is London. And it just combines everything that fascinates me. Historical fiction, London, and like Jack the Ripper. I don't know. I'm just really excited for it. And the cover really is what caught me.
Excellent, excellent. Another book that I picked up that I had no idea I wanted until I like saw it is called Caraval. And it's this really interesting book. And it's about this girl who lives on an island with her sister. And the two of them have always just lived on the island. And on the island, they have this special thing called Caraval. It's a legendary once-a-year performance where the audience participates in the show. So Scarlett is the main character. And she's set up with an arranged marriage, which means she'll be leaving the island. And she doesn't think she'll ever get to see Caraval. But right before she's set to leave, she gets her invitation. So her and her sister go, and then something happens to her sister. So then Scarlett's kind of like pulled into the all-out game that is Caraval, and all these magical things happen, and it's this really cool kind of game. And there's like almost like a ringmaster or the master organizer, and his name is Legend. And so it's just really... it's super cool. It just sounds really cool. It sounds a little bit like, I'm going to forget the name of it. The Night Circus with like some other things thrown in. It's got this really cool vibe to it. So I'm super excited. And again, the cover is kind of basic, but it's still really attractive. It's got this really cool, like it's a dark sky, like, but then it's got like this sunburst in the middle of it that makes it lighter and bluer, and then there's like red on it, and it says Caraval and this really cool lettering. And the tagline is, remember, it's only a game. And it's by Stephanie Garber. And I'm really excited to read it. Like, it's from Flatiron Books. It comes out in January, so I've got some time, but it just has a really cool vibe to it that I can't wait to check out. Do you guys have anything else? Is there any other books that you got that you came across and you were like, yes?
I actually picked up one, and Laura picked up the same one. We got it from Hachette, and it's called I'm Your Biggest Fan, and it's Awkward Encounters and Assorted Misadventures in Celebrity Journalism.
Yes!
Which I love hearing behind-the-scenes things, especially with interviews and stuff, and it kind of describes what we do to some extent, so I'm excited to start reading it, because some of the chapter names, like... oh gosh, where was one I just saw? Conan O'Brien made me quit, or Tom Cruise is going to marry me someday. Like, who wouldn't want to read a chapter with those titles? Neil Patrick Harris thinks I'm an idiot, but that's okay because a megastar rescued me. Like,
that's really funny.
So I'm excited about this one. And I didn't know I wanted it because I didn't know it existed.
And then it was, and I remember Laura talking about that one a lot, actually, when she got it. She was really excited about it, so... that is awesome. All right, so do you guys want to talk about some of the maybe non-book things that you picked up at BEA? Because they're, like, when you walk around, there's lots of things that they hand out to you or things that you can come across, things that you can buy. Like, there's some really cool stuff. So, Karen, what is it that you got that you really loved?
Well, mine didn't necessarily happen at BEA, but it happened before BEA. Because Danielle is awesome and she knows me really well. And for Hypeable, she gets to review subscription boxes. And she is very clearly Team Cap, while I am very clearly Team Iron Man, if you haven't figured that out yet. And so she gave me a little present of several Team Iron Man things. I got a glass. I got some sunglasses, which I keep showing off to, like, everybody. And some Iron Man socks and a Poe Dameron pin just to spice it up a little bit. But that was really exciting, and I wasn't expecting it. So thanks again, Danielle.
You're so welcome. Aww. I'm smiling like a fool over here because it makes me happy that you like it.
Aww. Yeah. Karen was very excited when she received those items. She, like, could not get enough of them. And Danielle, how about you? What did you come across that you liked?
My favorite thing was also a Poe pin, but a different kind of Poe. It was Edgar Allan Poe.
Nice.
And it's like a cartoon of him with a black cat. And I loved it. I got it from the Beautiful Badness Bookcase subscription box booth, they were giving them away at their booth, like if you would stop to talk to them about their subscription box. And like their first box is going to be Poe themed, which is pretty awesome. But so I got this pin, I loved it, and I wore it on my badge, and everybody, or not everybody, but a lot of people kept coming up to me asking me where I got this pin. So it made me feel extra special to carry an Edgar Allan Poe cartoon pin around with me, or a button, I guess is what it's called. So that was exciting. And then also chapstick, because I forgot mine, and one booth had really nice chapstick, and it saved me. So that was nice, too.
That is awesome.
That happened to me, too. I ran out of chapstick that day, and then we found that booth, and I was like, this is perfect.
It's the little things that go a long way sometimes. You never know. So for me, Laura waited in line and got me an owl crate tote, which is so cool because it has this really cool like owl face on it, and I kind of just love it. And then I was waiting in line to get something, and one of the ladies from the publishing house is every year she hands out these charms that go with the 5 books that are like her big summer picks. And so I got a charm that was from This Savage Song by Victoria Schwab, which comes out at the end of June, I believe. So that was really fun. I liked it. It's a cool little charm. So good stuff. So who are you guys most excited to meet? And I think, Danielle, you're the only one who answered this question. So I'm going to just go ahead and let you answer.
My answer is such a cop-out. But to be fair, I actually... I mean, it's not a cop-out. It's a great answer. But to be fair, I actually didn't recognize a lot of the authors or special guests that they had at BEA and BookCon this year. Usually I do when I'm kind of looking through the things that I can't go to, and then I get really jealous. So the last few years I've recognized people at BEA, but this year not so much. So not that it's a consolation or anything like that, but the people I was most excited to meet were actually you, Jen, and Laura, because I had never met you in person. So that was most exciting for me.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love it. Karen, who are you most excited to meet?
I'm old news at this point for Danielle. So.
But you guys have like met and hung out, and like you guys have had that opportunity. Do you know what I mean? And like you and I, we've met and we've done things together and we've hung out. Mm-hmm. Like, so it would be different than just meeting someone for the first time that you've worked with for like years and talked to, and like, you know, we exchange Facebook messages all the time. I'm emailing her, or like I'm mailing her books and stuff, but like we've never actually met in person.
She gives me presents.
Right. She gets presents from me all the time. So
I know it is weird to think that even after 4 years on the site, there are some people that I haven't met, and I'm like Selena. Hopefully I get to meet Selena this summer. And that to me is just really weird because I've known her for so long, but we've never actually met in person. So I totally get it.
Yeah.
People that I was most excited to meet. I was really happy to meet Savata here again because I got to interview her at San Diego Comic-Con last year, and it was such a great interview. I was like, kind of nervous because I had read her book and I felt like I really liked it, and I was like, oh, you know, this is an author that I really respect. And it ended up being like so chill and so easy, and it was nice just to say hi to her again. And it was great meeting Eleanor Herman again because she was dressed up once again in her little crown and she had her goblet, and that was a lot of fun. And I got to meet Lori Langdon for the first time. She co-writes the Dune series with Carrie Korb, which I've been covering for a couple of years now. And so just to be able to meet her and introduce myself and have her, you know who I am, just kind of makes it feel like it's worth it. I mean, it's worth it anyway because we get to do this, and this is pretty awesome. But when an author remembers your reviews or remembers the things that you've done to help them out, it's really nice.
Yeah, I agree. I was really excited to see Sabata here again as well. She's just so lovely and personable to talk to. I love her. And then I got to meet Kendara Blake. And we had done the cover reveal for Three Dark Crowns, which is her latest novel. So I was really excited to meet her because, A, that novel sounds amazing. And the cover got a really big response, which was nice as well. So it was really like fun to meet her and introduce myself, because so many times we, you know, like, there are a lot of people that I work with that, you know, I'm exchanging emails with or phone calls with that I've never met. And then the other funny one was, there was a publicist that I exchange emails with constantly, and I was in line to get Veronica Roth to sign the chapter sampler, and I was just talking to Veronica, and she looked at me, she's like, oh my god, and not Veronica, but the publicist was like, you're my, we email all the time, and so it was really nice to just, like, put a face to a name and to meet her. And what's super funny is, Veronica, like, used to listen to MuggleCast, so she knows, like, Andrew's voice. And so one time we did, we were doing an interview with her for Divergent, and after the interview, she came up to Andrew and was like, oh my god, you're Andrew Sims from MuggleCast. And I thought Andrew was gonna die, because he's like, you know me? And I was like, Andrew Sims, come on, dude, really? But it was so funny, and so when she saw me that I was from MuggleCast, she's like, oh, I know you guys! She's like, you work with Andrew Sims? So I'm like, yes, I do. But it's just like one of those funny moments where things happen. And so it was really nice to meet some of those people that I don't normally get to meet, but I talk to quite a bit. So I agree, Karen. It's very important. So do you guys have anything else that stood out to you being in Chicago and at BEA?
Well, this year, BookCon was only one day instead of two, so it was actually kind of nice to get out of the convention center and go do other things, especially in Chicago, which I have only visited once before, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was. You guys went to a comic book store and did a bunch of stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. See, I
ate at that amazing restaurant.
Twice, I still think
about that.
If you guys are ever in Chicago, there's a restaurant on Hubbard Street called Rocket. It's the Rocket Bar, and it is phenomenal. We had dinner there one night on like a whim. We wanted something close by because it was raining, and it happened to be close to our hotel, so I made a reservation for us, and we had dinner there, and it was just to die for. And then they happened to mention that they did brunch on Sundays, and so we're like, oh, you know, brunch is nice. And then the guy's like, well, it's acoustic brunch. Like, this guy comes in and brings his acoustic guitar, and he takes requests, and he just plays songs throughout brunch. And so we're like, wait, what? And we're like, all right, we kind of have to do that. So we made reservations and went back for acoustic brunch, and it was kind of phenomenal. First of all, they have a Bloody Mary bar and a mimosa kit that you can get, which we did have the mimosas. They were kind of fantastic. And then the food is amazing. And then the brunch guy, like, the music was so fantastic. It was like the highlight of the brunch, though.
It was so much fun. He was just playing all of these random songs that you wouldn't expect someone to play acoustically.
Like Ice Baby?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So paired with just the amazing food, it was a really great time.
Yeah.
So that was one of my highlights too, for sure.
Absolutely. So if you guys are in that area, definitely check out Rocket Bar, because we had two fantastic meals there. We loved it. It was a good time. So, and I like Chicago in general, even though I didn't get to see and do a lot of things as much as I wanted to, because I was a little bit busier than I expected. It was just really fun. Karen and I also got to go to the Disney party, which was held in this office an apartment building, but this one whole floor, it was called the library, and it was like a two-story library, and it was this old antique-y feel to it, and it had great views that overlooked the city, and in the middle of it, there were like pool tables and like dartboards and the little cubbies on the side, like, it was just a really, really cool place. So to kind of get to experience these different places, too, was a lot of fun. All right, so that wraps up this episode of Book Hype. We will be back soon with some more episodes and a book review, because we still do owe you guys a book review. We know we just got a little caught up with all our traveling and stuff, so we got a little bit behind. So thank you for your patience. But that will be happening because it's Karen's choice, and I'm sure she'll make sure we do it. Just saying, guys. Just saying. So, until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Danielle.
Goodbye, guys.
See you.